Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every infirmity. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like a sheep without a shepherd. Then plentiful and laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.
Thank you, Jay. So hopefully you've gotten something out of this morning so far already, and I can just kind of go through the sermon, right? No chances. Well, we hope you've enjoyed what you've seen so far. The slideshow, I'll try to do better about taking pictures while we're at events, but most of those were concerts and stuff that we've been to. And if you haven't seen me speak or teach or preach, you know I like to fidget, so you'll see me move around. I'll use my hands a lot. Just kind of ignore that. But the thing about youth ministry that I like, and this isn't going to be a youth ministry sermon, this is something I want y'all to come away with, something that you can use in everyday life, because everybody is essentially a youth minister. The same way I minister to these kids is the same way you minister to your friends at work, people you come in contact with at Walmart or wherever you're at every day. But I build a relationship with these kids. That's God's tool that everybody has. You have the ability to build a relationship with anybody, whether it be your friends at work, your spouse, you know, people in line at the grocery store, people that you see down the street mowing their lawn, somebody you might not even know their name, but you see they're working on something in their yard and you just stop to help them out for a little while. These kids enjoy music. One of the bands is Family Force 5. You saw the slide there. The loudest band I've ever heard, Robert Elrod can tell you. he went to the last concert with us, and I'm sure he was thankful for earplugs that day. But one of the things that you learn when you build a relationship is how to reach people. And Family Force 5 has done that. They're loud, they're rowdy, they do different clubs and stuff. They perform in clubs in Asheville, but they are a Christian band. One of their songs is called Love Addict. I was going to play it, but you wouldn't understand the words anyway because they scream the whole time. But these kids love the song. That's their favorite one. And the guy comes out, and you can only see this at a youth concert. As a guy comes out in Hulk hands, you know, the big foam Hulk hands, and he's got the microphone stuck down in there, and he's screaming and singing. And then 15 minutes later, you look over, and a girl is standing there with her stepbrothers with their hands lifted all together, holding hands and worshiping. That's a relationship that you learn how to take those things, those wild things that you just think, man, I wish I had that kind of energy still, and use it to glorify God. Now, I do a lot of education on Wednesday nights, but Sunday nights is a time where the kids can come. I call it refresh. They come and they just get things off their chest. We sit and talk about situations they may be going through. We talk about the drama that they go through with their friends at school. And you know, it's just a time to hang out and talk, for them to just kind of let things go. And get some guidance if it's something that I remembered where it comes from in the Bible, I'll use that, and we'll sit there and we'll pick apart what the Bible says about the situation. And education, education is good thing. We need that knowledge. We need the knowledge, and at a certain, you know, is needed at a certain point. But relationships are the things that change lives. Knowledge is what to do once that life has changed. Relationships are what change lives. And I see it all the time. You go to downtown Greenville, and there's some street preachers out there and everything, and they're out there, you know, hollering into a bullhorn or passing out tracts and stuff. And that's all, you know, that's one way to do about it. But in today's culture, relationship is what's needed to reach people. Otherwise, they're going to take that pamphlet and just throw it in the next trash can they come to. Plus, that in today's culture, that can be seen as offensive. Like you're oppressing somebody. You're pressing on their beliefs with your beliefs. I like to give it the analogy of a sales call. We all get those sales calls, we're used to, before they came out with a do not call list. Right at dinner time, the phone would ring, and you pick up the phone and say, "Hello?" "Yeah." Click. "Who was that?" "World Book salesman," or, you know, "Rainbow vacuum cleaner salesman," or whatever you had. Now, same thing happens the next night, and you're on the phone for 15, 20 minutes while your family's waiting for you to come down so they can say the blessing, dinner's getting cold. "Well, who was that?" "Oh, that was Judy down the street she's got a situation in her life, and I just wanted to help her out with it and tell her that we'd be praying for her at church and everything." You're more likely to talk with somebody you have a relationship with than that salesman who you don't know. That's the same thing that we need to remember when we approach people about sharing the gospel and inviting people to church and different things like that. It's good to go knock, you know, you can go out and knock on doors and things like that, but, you know, when you leave, the people are going to lay that on the thing, and they, you know, if they're looking for a church, they might pick it up and say, "Hey, let's go try this church." But if they're not, if they go to a church or if they don't go to church, what are they going to do with it? It's just going to sit there because they have no relationship with that church. It's just a pamphlet. So, you know, these preachers downtown, you know, I've seen them outside of the abortion clinic and you know, there's out on Woodruff Road, there's an older a couple that walks up and down that says "Stop Abortion Now." And we, you know, that stuff needs to be taken care of, but you can still be right and still be a jerk. There's a certain way you have to go about doing these kind of things in today's culture. The church in today's culture, and I've talked about this with the kids and things like that, the church in today's culture is seen as several different things. It's seen as judgmental. It's seen as hypocritical. It's seen as insincere. Churches, especially these big churches, are looking for performance. They're looking for numbers rather than the quality of what's going on. I've talked with Dr. Hearn. We've seen churches have the baptisms, you know, 900 people baptized on a Sunday. Yeah, a lot of lives were changed, but there are still some of those that it was just a dip in the pool for them. I'm not saying that God can't use those churches, but they need to be very careful about small groups. That's the answer to these big churches, is you need to have a relationship with four or five people in that church that you can hold, you can use as accountability. You can go to if you need prayer. excuse me. You know, if you need anything, these are the people that you're going to go to. As a matter of fact, these kids will keep coming to church here. Statistics show that these kids will keep coming to church here if they have a relationship with one adult or one family other than their own after high school. Mr. Jim Carpenter, Abby Vaughn will keep coming to here after high school just to give you a hug every Wednesday night. You know, and that's what's so important is you know, I don't want to make this about the youth, but, you know, the youth and children are here Wednesday nights, and y'all, we're over here in the prayer meeting, and then we're over here, and it's hard to find time in between getting them on the bus and getting them fed and everything. It's hard to find time to get them involved over here. And a lot of y'all do come over and kind of look and see what's going on and say hey to the kids and stuff like that. But these kids need good influences, good church influences. You know, Mr. George and Miss Lisa and Brian and Jeff and Miss Gloria and Miss Lisa Greer, there's two Lisas, are, you know, they're pouring in as much as they can during class time. But they're their teachers. You know, these kids expect me to pour into their lives. That's what I'm here to do. You know, and it might seem kind of odd at first, you know, but the kids enjoy y'all hugging on them and telling them that they're glad to see here, and they like to see smiles. And that builds a relationship with them. Now, that happens inside the church already, but it needs to happen outside the church as well. When you go down here to the Save-A-Lot, and you're standing in line, or Walmart, Walmart lines, I've never understood why Walmart has 50 checkout aisles and only two are open. But, you're in line and everybody is in such a bad mood. You know, somebody might be coming back from work where they've been yelled at all day, and your smile may be the only chance they get to see of God that day. There was a guy, we used to live in up near the Fort Mill area of South Carolina. Up near Charlotte, and I worked in Rock Hill, and I'd drive through Fort Mill every day to get to work. And there was a guy who was a mentally handicapped guy. Nobody knew his name. He'd stand there on the corner and wave and smile at people every day. That was the only God that some people saw between work and home. If they lived by themselves, they didn't have that chance for a spouse to love on them and stuff. Or maybe they were having a hard time in their marriage at the time, and they felt like they were leaving one fight at work to come to another fight at home. That wave and that smile was the only chance people saw of happiness that day. So, be sincere. Is the church? Are we looking for performance? Are we looking for ways to be like Jesus or our relationship with Jesus? They also see the church as sheltered, just boring and old fashioned. Now, I like traditional services. You will never see me do a contemporary service. I like that kind of music that we played during the slideshow. It's great for slideshows, but I enjoy organ and piano and traditional hymns and stuff. And yes, I did pick the hymns for today, so if they seem kind of odd, it's just because I like them. You want to have that traditional thing, and you want to have a good worship, but you don't want to separate yourself from the culture. The school that I go to during the year, North Greenville, has to be very careful because they're up on a hill and they kind of shelter themselves. Nothing bad's supposed to happen. I'm sure there are parties and stuff going on, but they have rules set up to where the kids can't experience real life. So when they get out of college, what's going to happen? They go down there and they're going to want to share their faith, but they're not going to know how to relate to people. So they're working on that, and we need to work on that here. There's a line between doing what God wants us to do and being a good Christian example, but we want to do that in real life situations. Somebody just lost their job. Well, I'll be praying for you. Well, that doesn't help them. Praying, it does help, but praying for people doesn't pay the electric bill, doesn't help them buy groceries, doesn't help them with whatever other bills they've got coming up that month. You have to meet people where their need is in order to open up that space in their heart where they need God. So, the job of the church is not only to build up the church, but to build up society through our examples and taking care of people. Now, that means loving some people you might not want to love. But, how do you love people? How can we be expected to love people when they make fun of us or they put us down all the time about what we believe and are all the time, trying to get prayers taken out of school and everything like that? The only thing I can say is one person still loves them. Why can't we? So, just remember that when we go out into society, that whether we like people or not, God still loves people, and we're supposed to be the image of God. So what does that mean for us? Somebody that has a relationship with at least one other person or family besides their own is more likely to keep coming back to church. Guests that come to church. Sometimes we I understand it's summertime and vacation and stuff like that, but sometimes we kind of miss it. But we want to make sure that if we do miss them, we want to have that relationship with people. Now, what's weird is I found out I have a relationship with somebody here at the church that I never knew about. Apparently, I'm related to Beth Dixon. I didn't find that out until last Wednesday night. If I came to this church as a guest and I found out that I was related to Beth Dixon, I'd be more apt to come back because I know I have family there. I've got somebody I can talk to. Now, we have people that come in the doors all the time that aren't related to them. How do we build a relationship with them? You just talk to them. You just do it, as Nike says. Genesis 2:18 said it was not good for man to be alone. So we know that we were made for relationships. God expects His people as disciples of Jesus to minister through relationships. Now, that doesn't mean that we go out and pressure people to sacrifice everything for the church and to make decisions that force people to join the church. You know, giving people a hard time about not being here, that's something I do with the youth when they're not here. But that's I'm just teasing them, and they kind of expect that from me. If I didn't pick on them, they wonder what was wrong. But if somebody's out playing golf, we give them a hard time because they weren't at church on Sunday morning, that turns people into products. We don't want people to feel like a product on an assembly line. That relationship that we have keeps people from feeling like they're just a number. You know, once we get people in here and they're a guest and they like what's going on and they enjoy being around and they enjoy our events that we do, they decide to join the church, they get baptized, and then what do we do with them? Oh, just show up Wednesday night. Just show up Sunday morning. Just keep showing up Sunday night. There has to be still that relationship. And we have different small groups going on that meet outside of those times. But I feel like we need more as a church. I'm looking at maybe doing one next summer with the youth where we meet sometime other than Wednesday night. Maybe meet Tuesdays or something down at Hardee's or somewhere like that. It's a real informal, not even at the church, but something to build a relationship with them. But if you have people come in and they make that decision and then they have nothing else to do, it's just like leaving a newborn in the delivery room and expecting them to nurture and mature themselves. That doesn't happen. So you treat each person as a valuable creation of God. Love them and meet their needs. It's not about what a person can bring to the church. One of the churches that I grew up in, every time a guest would come in, we'd look to see, oh, well, you would be good for our choir, you'd be good for our drama ministry, or you'd be good for our handbells, or we were already trying to stick them in programs. They haven't even joined the church yet. We were looking for what they could do for us instead of where we can meet their needs. If we build a strong goal, if we build a strong, close relationship that moves towards the goal of a changed life instead of baptism, that's where we would affect more people. That's where we would reach into the heart of this community. Instead of worrying about baptism, and I'm not saying that we do, these are just relational tips that I use, instead of trying to get people in, as we say, let's try to change people's lives. Let's meet their needs, whether it's church-related or not. Let's just take care of people. So why do this relational ministry? Today's culture has a lot of noise. We're competing, the church is competing with sporting events, with TV schedules. You know, I love wrestling. So Monday nights at 9 o'clock and Friday nights at 8 o'clock, I'm in front of my TV watching wrestling. But these kids know that if they need me, I'll get up and go. So, it's more about their schedule than our schedule. You know, we can't expect people to come to our house when they've never been here. We need to go to theirs. And I'm not saying go to their house literally, but like where they are out in there. We've tried going to their house. I think some guns were involved at one time. When you're out in society, it gives people a chance to see who we are as Christians in everyday life. And if you're doing it right, if you have a good relationship with God, and you have a good walk with God, people see something in you, and they're going to want what you have. They're going to see that joy and that peace. When all the world is crazy, people are getting laid off at work, and you know, people's houses are getting foreclosed on. Teachers are losing their jobs. They're taking prayer out of school. They're, you know, all these crazy things are going on, oil spills and everything. People are so worried. They're looking for some peace. If you know that God's in control, what is there to worry about? They're going to see that peace. They're going to want what you have. And it's up to us to be transparent about our lives. These youth know everything about my life. Now, part of that is thanks to Facebook. But, you know, I don't hide anything. They know about my past. They know that I've made mistakes. They know where I've come from. They know that, you know, I don't know. They know too much. They know way too much about me. But I like that because that helps them open up to me. They know that they can tell me anything because I've already told them everything. So, how do you become a relational minister? And all of you can become a relational minister. You don't have to have an ordination certificate. It's just going out and doing it. Number one, you spend time in their world on their schedule. Did you know Jesus called his disciples individually, spent time in their homes, and built into their lives? He didn't say, I want Matthew, somebody go get Matthew. And Matthew came and he's, you know, to the synagogue and he said, Matthew, I want to be one of your disciples. No, he found them probably a quarter of his disciples on the shore fishing. You know, if you enjoy fishing, go out and fish and strike up a conversation with people. That's what Justin does. Apparently, Justin caught a 10-pound bass yesterday. I'm fussing about that. I'm very ADD, by the way, so I go in different directions. One of the main things that I try to do is be seen. I find out when the kids' concerts are. I find out when their performances are. Football games and stuff. You don't have to have a kid. Did y'all know that you don't have to have a kid playing football to go to a football game? Yeah. You can just, if you enjoy watching football on TV, why not go down to Wren or Woodmont and enjoy a football game? You never know who you're going to see there. Matter of fact, I go different places in Greenville. It drives Casey crazy. I see people I know all over the place. And it's just spooky. So just be seen. If you want to minister to kids, to the youth, find out when the high school's concerts and football games and everything are. They're going to be there. They don't have anything else to do. Yes, it is true. If you don't feel like going anywhere, just pray for them. You know, I've thought about having the youth sponsorship once a month, just put all the youth on a board and have people come by and take a name and just pray for them for the month. Let them know what concerts are coming up, what tests are coming up, their hobbies and stuff that they like to do, things they enjoy. You know, just help get y'all involved in their lives a little more. And you don't have to do that with just the youth. You can do that, like I said, with anybody. All this stuff that I'm telling you can be done with anybody outside of this church. The two easiest things to do to be in their world is just be friendly and be yourself. People can tell if you're fake, especially these youth. I'm very transparent with them because they can tell when I'm fake. They can tell when I'm just putting on airs and I'm trying to get them to do something. So if you be yourself, you don't have to worry about them catching you in a lie. Because recently, somebody in the churches or in a certain college has been caught in a lie, and it's hurt a lot of people and put a lot of faith on hold for a lot of college students. But if he was himself, instead of trying to make such a fabulous testimony, we'd have a lot more college students not asking, well, what's real anymore? Second thing, and this is my last point, is to be known. You know, it's one thing to go to these places. Yeah, you're there at the football game. You're sitting in the stands. Well, what good is it if the kids aren't going to see you there? You know, if I go to a basketball game and hang out and you know, the kids that come out of the locker room wait for the players or something, you already know their names. They're on the roster for the game. You know, say, hey, that was you did a good job, you know. Even if they sat the bench the whole time, tell them they were the best bench warmer out there. And every one of them can be the best bench warmer out there. Let them do more than see you there. Talk to them. Learn people. If you learn people's interests and backgrounds and talents, they're more likely to know that you appreciate it. And to want to use their talents and everything to what they see in you is that peace that God gives you and that joy that God gives you. And the main thing is to just share experiences with people. If you share experiences with people, it builds unity. Justin mentioned that after this, we went to Carowinds, and he just happened to mention that it seemed like the youth group was closer after we came back. Well, that's because we sat on a bus for 2 hours and stood in line for probably a long time for these rides. So we got to know each other a little more than we did when we left the church at 8 o'clock that morning. And then, of course, we came back and stayed here all night. But, you know, we learned that some people like to talk until 4 in the morning. But, you know, that's one thing that I can use. You know, if they like to talk, I'll give them a lesson and let them talk. Some people just like to share what they're about. You know, testimonies are always good. But if you share experiences with people while you're doing something, it seems a little less formal. It doesn't seem like you're drilling them or like an interview for something they're going to have to do later. So, relational ministry. How many people do you talk to in a week? Where do you go? Who do you see? Do you look around at people's faces to see who's hurting, who's enjoying life? If it does look like they're enjoying life, are they putting on a mask? Is it fake? Do you see somebody out in their yard working and know that they could use some help, but you continue to drive? What if that was the one chance that they've had to hear about God this week? Build relationships. That's how to reach people and change lives. So, the hymn, closing hymn, is number 429. They'll Know We Are Christians. And Dr. Herm will be down front if you would like to come down. Anybody that would like to talk with him or make a decision to join the church, we always welcome that. And then he will say a few words and we will be dismissed. So I appreciate y'all coming, even though it's Youth Sunday. It's my first time preaching. I was kind of nervous. I don't know if y'all could tell, but... thank y'all for coming, and thank y'all for pouring into my life and building a relationship with me. Y'all have done more than you know in the past 2 years.